Welcome to Unmatch Me Now, the podcast about horrible online dating experiences and dating ethics. I am your host, Idan, an Israeli based in Berlin. Hope you're all having a good week so far. Before we start, make sure to follow the podcast on Instagram or Twitter at Unmatch Me Now. And if you think you have some stories to share and want to be a guest on the podcast, please reach out to me on social media or at unmatchmenow.com. Now, let's greet our guest for today.
Okay, so Laura and Joy, how are you today?
Hi, very good. Thanks for having us on. We're doing great. We appreciate being here.
Yeah, same. Where are you located, by the way?
Central Florida in the States.
Ah, okay.
United
States.
Oh,
nice. All right. I haven't been to Florida yet, but I'm thinking of coming this year or next year.
Just in the hurricanes.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard. Yeah.
We're doing good.
Yeah. So maybe you can start with a short introductory about who you are and what you do and the reason you're here.
Laura, so you can recognize my voice. I am a former technologist. I worked in big tech for years, and I am also a survivor of family violence. And that's my contribution. We're authors of Street Smart Safety for Women, Your Guide to Defensive Living, which has tips for everybody on staying safe, including online, mm-hmm. but specifically for women and women's thought processes and our feelings and relationships and everything. And I had an aha moment about domestic violence when I recognized that my mother's mental illness was directly correlated to my father's domestic violence.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, that is quite a background story.
And I'm
Joy
Farrow. I started in law enforcement and I worked for 28 years on the street and handling every possible call imaginable in the big cities. And Laura and I met online, and we've been together for 15 years.
So you, just to make sure I understand, you're saying you're a couple, or you met okay. So
I'm not gonna have a confusion. Online. Yeah. Yes.
Okay, that's awesome. That's amazing.
Yes. We're together. So it's not just academic knowledge or reading about this. We've done it ourselves.
Right? You're living the life. Yeah.
Right. And we decided to collaborate on writing a book because over the many years that we've been together, all I would talk about were the calls that I repeatedly went back to with women and how many times women were in a situation, either dating or, you know, what's happened.
Yeah.
To them, and we decided to let them know that there's a better way to do things,
right?
And we have some good information for them.
So you wrote a book, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And can you give us just an introduction about what the book, like, I mean, the book is about everything you said, of course, but maybe more in specifics, what made you write this book and what is it including? What's included in the book?
We talk about everything in the book that we could think about that would let women know what we know about violence, what we know about technology, and what we know about violence within the home. So mm-hmm. as Joy mentioned, she has a lot of experience on the street. And as I mentioned, I had that aha moment when I recognized that my mother's mental illness was the result of family violence.
Yeah.
That's what we include. We include family violence. We include love bombing, including on how love bombing takes place in dating. We include sham scams and cons. Joy includes advice on how to keep yourself safe while traveling, while mm-hmm. out and about. And we also include information on recovery from trauma, because we believe that probably everybody in the world has been traumatized, specifically women. And, you know, that doesn't have to be the end of your life. And we're not advocating violence by any means, or that, you know, victims aren't victims, but that you can grow after violence and that you can recover from trauma.
Yeah. Okay. And the book is called Street Smart Safety for Women. Just put it out there.
It is.
So maybe we can start, if it's okay with you, to talk about how you two met each other. Like you said, you met online. And how was that experience?
That was good. It was interesting. I'll start, Joy. I was actually online for Match.com.
And that I was existed at the 15 end years of, ago?
Yeah. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Crazy.
Been around a while.
Yeah.
And I was at the end of the profile phase. So I signed up for 60 days and I was at the end of the profile phase. And I saw Laura's profile and figured nice pictures. And it was very interesting. It was very detailed what she wanted and what she didn't want. And I knew what I didn't want. And I was tired of people that were over drinking themselves. And she specifically said she didn't want somebody who drank. So okay. And actually, we did not speak on the phone. We emailed for a few times. And I thought she was pretty sharp and funny. Mm-hmm. And we decided to meet funny at a coffee shop that we usually don't go to. And we met at a Starbucks. And I parked in the back because, well, just in case she was a little odd, she wouldn't see what car I got into. And I would be able to make a quick getaway. So I walked in and I took a brief look around. Also, I was hoping she did look like the picture. That was very attractive. And she came bounding through the coffee shop, looked exactly like the picture, smiling. I went, okay, well, that's a plus. Now I just got to hope she's not a nut.
Yeah.
So I was doing well, Laura. I had an online strategy. I did a whole marketing profile for myself. I put myself in different social situations. I put myself in different outfits. I always showed myself smiling. And as Joy said, I was very specific about what I wanted and what I didn't want. And I am, I'll tell you, a recovering alcoholic. And there's a lot of discussion about what's a social drinker, what's not a social drinker. So in my profile, I said, if you drink on a daily basis, you will be happier elsewhere.
I mean, that makes sense. Yeah.
Putting it out there. But, you know, here's what I thought. I thought nobody is going to want somebody who doesn't drink. But you know what? I'd already had many dates where somebody said I'm a social drinker. And, you know, they showed up, you know, having more than a couple social drinks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And also, as Joy said, she parked way back in the parking lot. Well, here's the PS to that. I got to the coffee shop early. I was sitting in the back so I could see what she drove up in, A, to make sure she had a car, B, to make sure that her car was in good shape. I mean, I actually didn't know what she did at that point because she was in law enforcement. She just said that she had something to do with the law. So I figured, well, I wasn't specific on purpose.
Right.
Yeah.
So who knows on which side of the law that she was on? So I wanted to see if I could check it out. And so that's why I was sitting in the back to have a whole panoramic view of who drove up and what. But she parked behind the corner so somebody couldn't see what she drove up in.
Smart.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we both had our own strategies for online dating and for meeting people, you know, in a way that, you know, kept our personal safety in mind.
Yeah. So just to set the background and the scene. So this was 15 years ago. And at that point, I would assume, I mean, I've also used online dating like 12 years ago, right? So it's not like that further away from when I started, but
that's right.
I assume at the time, you know, I remember it wasn't like such a common thing to meet strangers online. You know, it was a little bit, there was some sense of danger to it, you know, or some like, I mean, I'm sure there was actual danger, but it was also a feeling of something risky to some extent, because we didn't really have this online, you know, gamification of things. Like, you want to drive somewhere, you drive into an Uber with a stranger, or you want to get like some food, some stranger delivers it. And like, it's not like necessarily professionals, it's just like random people doing like gig economy things now. And back at the time, I think it was kind of strange. So at that point in time in your lives, you two had different experiences, right? Like, Joy, you had the law enforcement experience, and Laura, you had like your background and what you knew about technology in that sense, and all of the things that you accumulated through your life. And what I want to ask is, were you aware, or were you in some way kind of attentive to those things because of your backgrounds at that point in time? Or is it something that you developed, like this philosophy and this strategy about safety and being a woman and being safe after you met? Or is it something that happened at that time already?
Since I was not in law enforcement, and, you know, as I mentioned, I had a background in family violence, I knew or had a high awareness of the patterns of people who become domestic abusers. So I knew what I was looking for. And as you mentioned, that really good point, back then it wasn't as common as it is now. You know, now it's just anticipated that you're going to find somebody online. But back then, a murder. But back then, it was kind of like people thought, are you that desperate?
Yeah,
you poor thing. You have to go online to find a stranger.
Yeah,
and the truth of the matter is, for me, is that I wanted to meet somebody outside my social circle, anybody I had met. Because I'll be honest with you, I tapped out all my friends. Hey, do you know somebody? Hey, you know, somebody at work, whatever. Right. There was no place else I could think of to meet somebody decent. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to go fishing online and just see what happens. So I did have my strategy. I did take precautions. And, you know, there were some people who came up who wanted to blow by those precautions. I said, hey, I want to meet in a public place. Well, come over to my house for lunch. I want to meet in a public place. And kept insisting, and they kept pushing for what they wanted. And if that was the case, I just blocked them. Mm-hmm. So I did know what I wanted. I did have a strategy, and I held on to what I wanted because I wasn't willing to settle anymore.
Mm-hmm. I always felt that I had a heightened sense of intuition, even before I went into law enforcement. And then while I was in, I could just, even growing up when I was young, I can just sense things about people that I didn't like, or I was uncomfortable. And then if I said something, you know, to an adult, you know, they kind of brushed it off. But, and then later on, they would be talking about this person, and I would just think to myself, see, I told you, you know, nobody wanted to listen. And then when I got in law enforcement, I was actually in retail security a long time before that, managing. And I could see people's lying behaviors, actually, when I was in retail security. And they would lie right to my face. And I knew that what they had stolen, they're standing there wearing, or they're holding it. And, you know, it just made me laugh that I'm looking at you and, you know, they're so defiant, and they're going to complain about me. And I went, but but you're wearing it. The tag is right there, you know, and it was just funny. And then I stuck to my guns, you know, over the years. And I went, no, you know, I'm just going to believe in myself. And then all through law enforcement, actually, well, most of the people tend to lie to me, you know, over the years. So no matter what it was, I was just one of these people that I didn't get bothered by it. I expected it. So it was more of a joke to me, and I would joke with people about it. So, you know, I stopped somebody for speeding. Hey, listen, I know what's about to happen now, but it made me laugh when, you know, I heard their excuse for it, because I already had an excuse in my head. I just wanted to see if it was going to match theirs. Yeah. So, you know, I expect people to stretch the truth, and you know, it just made me realize through the dating process that somebody's going to lie about something, and I'm going to see what it is. You know, I don't drink, you know, I would hear somebody say, they're like, no, I don't drink. Okay. And then here they are passed out drunk, almost in their seat, you know?
Yeah.
So that's what I felt that I was developing over the years.
My
intuition more.
So you both had this some sort of, I guess, an idea of what the risks are and like how to mitigate, you know, online dating in that sense.
Exactly. And even then.
Can I ask? Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, when we talked about getting online, I was going to say, at the time, Laura worked a lot of hours, and so did I. So I worked peculiar, 14-hour days, and she worked long days. So, you know, it was like hard to meet people back then. And that's kind of why people get online now, is because you're a busy professional, you know, and you just don't have the time. Where are you going to go? You're not going to meet anybody in that coffee shop. I'll tell you that, you know. So, you know, you got to branch out.
Yeah. So if I may ask, how connected are you to like what's going on right now in online dating? Like, how aware are you of things like that younger, you know, like people like 20-year-olds use these apps and nowadays, like what is your level of knowledge of that?
I'd say that we're pretty aware.
Okay.
Right.
And what are your concerns about those things in terms of like the topic of safety for women and generally?
Specifically, as somebody who's interested in technology, I am extremely concerned at the lack of responsibility of the dating apps themselves.
Yeah.
The dating apps. To be clear, the dating apps, these companies are conglomerates, and you know, they're interested in the bottom line more than they're interested in people's safety. And, you know, for 100%. Us specifically women. And I'll tell you, one of the big concerns I have is that the Match group, you know, who owns Match.com and Tinder and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
One of the big things they advertised a couple of years ago was their partnership with Garbo, which was a firm that would check public databases to see whether people had a history of, you know, criminal activity, predation, et cetera. And that was one of the perks of being on a Match company, like Tinder, Match, or whatever. They broke their partnership up a month ago. So people who signed up originally for the Match group apps, thinking, oh, at least I will have some measure of security that some of the people I meet are going to be vetted in some way. Those bets are off, because now Match doesn't have the ability to check a public background databases.
And they didn't publish this information, I guess, to the general public. So they published that they do the partnership, but not when they break it.
Now, Garbo has published it. Garbo has said the, you know, background dating app or the safety app, the security app, they have published that their partnership has been severed, and they have a big, they have a big announcement on their website saying why they severed the partnership and that they're going to go forward and, you know, develop new technology. But they specifically mentioned that that partnership is severed. We have not seen anything from the Match Group.
I see.
So that's, you know, that's concerning to us that some conglomerates and corporations who are making millions off people, specifically people's safety, you know, has really just gone dark on that.
Yeah. And can you clarify a little bit, what is your technological background or expertise focusing around, so I can also craft my questions better?
Sure. So as you mentioned, I was in the Army. And when I was in the U.S. Army, I got a background in technology. And that was the beginning of my technology background. I worked on missiles that had computers, nuclear missiles, actually, that had computers on them. So that's what guided the missile from point A to point B, was the technology that guided the missile to its destination, because the computers were on board. And after that, I went to work for large companies like IBM, HPE, Dell, FedEx, Coca-Cola, et cetera. So I have a broad technology background in computers, and I've had a front seat to see how technology has developed and accelerated even in the last, what, 5-6 years. And how the hardware and software have really just gone as fast as a nuclear missile forward to the point where it's almost unrecognizable even from 5 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. That's, I mean, I don't even know what kind of tech stacks you need to know to do this missile guidance, like C#. I have no idea, but yeah, it sounds fascinating. So besides the whole like general feeling of, or like the general effort from the corporations that owns all the dating apps, what other safety issues do you think women should focus on, and what would be like things that you would advise generally for behaving online, and especially on online dating apps?
We could write another book about that, but we'll start with the basics.
Yeah.
Do not go on a free app. That is job one, because one of the things we say is, if you are not paying for the meal, you're the entree. And like I said, these large corporations, they sell your data. They are using you to push ads. And, you know, we're a commodity.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. It's a value for value. You meet somebody, they sell your data, whatever. Nothing wrong with that. However, on the free apps, there is literally no security. So you want to pay a little bit more. You want to also, if you're looking for a relationship, you want to pay a little bit more to get somebody who is also investing in a profile. So that would be our first suggestion.
So that would be like apps that have a paywall in order to become a member, you mean? Or
no, you can sign up for free, but to get the premium features.
Okay. So is Tinder a free app, or in that you definition?
Can, sure. There's a free app on Tinder. There's a free app on Match, but it provides just, you know, basic functionality. Perhaps it has limited messaging. Perhaps you can only, you know, swipe a couple times, a few times a day.
Yeah.
Whatever. But we encourage people, particularly women, to get the higher level, because that will also reduce your risk of catfishers, scammers, that type of thing. Because if somebody has to pay, they're not going to pay for 3 or 4 profiles, you know, to put that kind of money into it. So that would be, that would be our first suggestion. The second one, also obvious, is if there's not a picture on there, keep on going. Keep on going. Because you don't know who you're going to get. And so, you know, that's the obvious. And the third is, if there are pictures, do the pictures in the profiles match? So if somebody says, hey, I'm an architect, you know, are there pictures of building? Hey, I'm a hiker. Does it show them pictures of them hiking? That type of thing. And also, before you step out of the house, video chat with them. Make sure that whoever they say they are is, you know, who they're purporting to be. Because, you know, obviously scammers and people who are really good at being predators can slip through the cracks. But you want to do everything you can to keep that mesh tight, to try and sift out as many predators and scammers as you can.
Yeah. And I mean, just to give points to dating apps, I guess, is that they have been implementing the video chat feature in most of them in the app already. So, but I don't really hear a lot of people using it though, which is a shame, because I think it's a really great idea. Even just an audio call sometimes is also really helpful, I think. But so just something that I've been asked quite a while, quite a bunch of times, is maybe you as a technologist, you would know, is there any sort of technological risk to go on a video call with someone that is a potential scammer? Like, is there any sort of something that can happen to your data, to your phone? Can you be hacked in any way? In that way, is it like dangerous just to do that video call?
I'm not aware of any. And let's even take FaceTime, for example, you know, Apple's video app.
Yeah.
FaceTime is actually more secure than almost any other kind of app because of the security that's built into it.
I see.
So I would take that a step further and say that if Apple has mastered that technology, you know, that, you know, the other companies have as well. But I'm not aware of any technology breaches or technology opportunities that would allow scammers to get your personal data. I would say, you know, you're more at risk from catfishing, from password, you know, issues, you know, in your email, that type of thing.
Yeah. Okay. Joy,
And at least talking to somebody, hearing their voice is different than just writing to them or just seeing a picture. Because when you meet them, you know, in case it was somebody else or, you know, they were using something else, a synthesizer to change their voice and, you know, different picture. And then you meet them and you're, wait a minute, that, you know, you don't really look like, oh, well, I shaved or I had a cold, you know, just something. But if you talk to them a little bit before you run out of the house to meet them. Everybody wants to find love, but, you know, sometimes women need to take a step back and, you know, just get a little more information before, you know, you say, oh, this person, they love me. This is great. I met somebody. Well, you may have met somebody, but you don't want to end up on Dateline.
For
wrong reasons.
Yeah. Is there right reasons to end on Dateline? Not sure.
Well, okay, so you're the one arresting somebody, having someone arrested.
I see. Okay. So for women out there, or I mean, I don't know, it just in that sense, anyone, doesn't have to be necessarily women, but you're focusing mainly tips for women. For the first date, so you mentioned, you know, like pre-date or before you decide you want to go on a date, someone, you call them, you look at their pictures, you kind of assess if there's any irregularities of some sort. What would be your suggestion to keep, to be safe on when you go on a date, on the first date?
Now, what's good is if you can have these apps that can alert your friends or alert law enforcement to a situation, like noon light, or you could press a button in case for some reason you feel uncomfortable or attacked. Quickly, you can alert your friends and the police to your location. Also, there are other apps that don't have to call everybody, but they will alert a friend and have that friend call you. And, you know, this way you can feel comfortable that you have a connection with somebody, you know, in case it's not working out for you.
Somebody always knows where you are.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. So at least there's a connection there and you can say, it's okay. Right now we're going across the street. So at least there's something instead of somebody knows that you, oh, I'm going out on a date. Once you leave the house, you know, who knows where you're going, but at least if you have a little bit of a connection with somebody or even have a friend, tell them where you're going and, you know, maybe they can go along with you, but at least you'll feel comfortable, you know, in this day and age, have somebody, an arm's length away, at least.
What about personal protection?
Also carrying, personal protection is something. We know that a lot of women do not carry anything. So pepper spray, I don't know if you can carry it internationally. But
here it's, you know, so it's kind of illegal to carry it in that sense, but there's a loophole in the law here. You can carry pepper spray that is against animals like bears and stuff. So women do that here a lot of times.
Right. So there's that. We say bear spray here also when you're out riding a bike, you know, it's a little big sometimes to carry in your purse for other things. But even so, internationally, you can carry any kind of little spray. Doesn't have to be pepper spray, but any type of spray aerosol that you can spray in somebody's face to distract them. Or, you know, even a small flashlight is great. A little, one of those little metal flashlights that has a very powerful light on it.
Yeah. That's, I follow quite a bit of martial arts, self-defense stuff on YouTube. And the flashlight is actually something they recommend a lot. Like a particular, they have like these really strong ones.
Really paralyzing. Like the little military grade. Exactly.
Yeah.
Not the dollar ones, but it's not that expensive, but it fits in the palm of your hand. You can wrap the cord around it and nobody sees it. And if you put it on strobe, even during the day or at night, it disorients somebody. And that's all you need is seconds to get away.
Yeah.
But, you know, these are things that you have to think ahead of time and you have to have them ready and not at the bottom of your pan, you know, the purse and, you know, or even the sonic alarms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is so, I mean, these are all responses in some way. So what would be a way, or like, is there some sort of a framework or methodology of a mindset of some sort that you recommend for people to have to deal with situations that they start noticing is going into the wrong direction, or if they start feeling unsafe in that sense?
We actually talk about that in our book and we call it safety intuition. And we all have it. It's primal. It is simply our five senses around us responding to whatever may be reporting danger to us, like it, like they did on in the Sahara back in the day, or on the, you know, back with the wild animals. However, as women, we have been conditioned to pay so much attention to everybody else that we don't pay attention to ourselves. We don't pay attention to our own safety intuition. And we encourage everybody to do that. To pay attention to, if you get a feeling in the back of your neck or in the pit of your stomach, your senses report far more information than your conscious mind can possibly take in. But again, women are so conditioned to pay attention to what everybody else wants. When we get those feelings, we want to dismiss them because we think to ourselves, oh, we're just overreacting. We're being foolish. And, you know, as Joy mentions in our book, you know, predators take advantage of women's propensity to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's good to listen to, you know, like you're saying, how do you know when you're in a situation? You have to listen to the cues sometimes that they're saying or they're not saying. And, you know, are you filling in those blank spots when you're trying to talk to them? Are they not responding? Are they not saying what, well, let's just say a normal person would respond in that situation? Are they being sarcastic? These are things to listen to and take in while you're looking at their facial reaction. You know, are they saying one thing, but their face is showing something else? You know, in a brief second, we could pick up a lot from just looking at somebody's facial reactions. Your brain takes that in a millisecond, little facial expressions.
Yeah.
So these are things to keep in mind. And when you feel uncomfortable, just start backing away. You know, the other person may start pulling you in, you know, verbally. Come on, let's go. But back your way out of it. I'm sorry, this isn't working for me.
So walking through beyond initial dates, like, let's say you have gone on a date with someone from an online app or whatever. Mm-hmm. And what are some of the things that women should be aware of, or people should be aware of continuing dating? What are like some red flags that you want to address maybe, or like sort of communication patterns that people should be aware of when they continue dating someone?
I would say one of the big things that women especially should be aware of is love bombing. And love bombing means that somebody comes on hot and heavy right out of the gate, right from the first date. You're the one. Oh my God, where have you been all my life? And you know, we all want to feel valued. We all want to feel that somebody says, oh, there is somebody that sees the value in me. Thank heavens, finally. But the truth of the matter is that love bombing is a hook. And what that person is doing is showering you, kind of like a confetti canyon, showering you with attention and gifts and texts and, you know, meetings and whatever, that you are so overwhelmed that somebody finally recognizes your value, you don't really see what's going on. And the truth is that love bombing is a hook, and it's the first hook of the domestic violence and domestic abuse pattern. And it's not just for women. You know, we all want somebody to feel that, you know, hey, you finally get me. Somebody gets me. But that women, especially because we are primarily the victims of domestic violence and abuse, is that it's really a pattern of domination and control. So one of the things we talk about is you're on a date with somebody and they say, oh, come on, just one more. Well, you got to go to work. You got to go to school. You got whatever. And you say, I got to get up in the morning, you know, we'll do this again. But they keep it up, just one more, just one more. And you finally say, I am having such a good time. You say, okay, just one more. No, congratulations. You have just shown that you can be controlled. And when this shows up as a pattern, it's the pattern of domination and control that is inherent in domestic violence and abuse, because that's what the violence is. That's what the abuse is. It's a matter of controlling the relationship, always to the detriment of the victim. So really want people to be advised of that. And the earlier you cut it off, even if you really, really like somebody, the earlier you cut it off, the better off you're going to be.
Yeah. I just wanted to ask, do you think that the people that do love bombing, is it like something that they're aware as a strategy, or is it something that they're just like, they're just encapsulated by some sort of a mental whatever state that, you know, makes them do this?
You know, I do think that there are two types of people. Mm. So I think there are the controlling people, mm-hmm. that, well, there's probably three types. There's the people with a lot of money that, you know, feel that I can get this person by showing them whatever I want. And, well, I'm not going to say women don't like that, but, you know, they do try that aspect and they throw that out there. Then there's the insecure people that they may not have that kind of money, but they stretch themselves to pretend that they have that and just trying to do what they can to maybe get somebody that it's just not working. And I'll pull out all the stops and I'll try this. And then you have the third person that is the controlling person. And this is their mindset where they're like, okay, this is not going to be long. And boom, as soon as they're together, the personality changes. And that's what happens. Is as soon as you get together, it's been known to happen in days. And some people just don't see it. Their friends see it. Family sees it. You know, and you'll hear this in stories, and friends will say, well, I tried to tell you. Well, it gets to a point where people just don't want to hear it. And they're like, well, he's very nice to me. You know, but they tend to miss things or leave things out of the story. Mm. And it's the personality changes that you have to see. Of course, when you're in a relationship, you know, the best thing for a relationship is to work together. And, you know, one person shouldn't be, you know, sometimes women will say, well, I don't care if he does that, or I don't care if she does this. And, well, in order for it to work together and you both to be happy, either you both can do your own things or you can come together and decide who does the finances or who's going to take this. But when one person is 100% controlling, I'll let you know how much money you have. I'll tell you, where are you going tonight? That starts, you know, you start pulling the thread on that.
What we suggest people do is be a flirting detective. You can have fun. I mean, dating is fun. That's why we do it. It's a lot of fun. Let's not lose that in all of this. The chemistry, the flirting, all of that. Have fun. But you can also be a flirty detective. And what that means is listen for what people tell you while you're on dates with them. And if they tell you something on date one and they tell you something different on day two, red flag. And red flags do not mean a parade. Red flags mean you better back it on out. So, you know, if you kind of keep that in mind of having fun and finding out information, you know, that's a win-win.
Yeah.
Right. And even if you're not, well, even if you're not looking for a relationship, some people just want to date because they want to stay single, but that doesn't mean not stay safe.
Right.
You can be single and safe for your, you know.
Yes. So you have a section in your book also about solo traveling tips. And if we intersect this with when you're a woman and you're solo traveling and you do want to either go out on a date or meet a guy or a girl or whoever, then what would be, because then in that sense, you don't have friends around, right? Like not necessarily. So you can't really alert anyone. So what would be some of the solo traveling tips that you would give in these cases?
I still say that you can have the app for security reasons. You could have it on your phone. You could have it on your watch.
Wearables.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know, you could have wearable tech. you can still keep it in the back of your mind that, you know, you're just meeting somebody out, and either you're not going to do your own research online, maybe you can, but you should still meet somebody out in a public place and still try to get as much information conversationally as you can. That's your first step.
Take public transportation if you can, so they can't find your car, so they can't see your car. We heard a story recently of somebody who was traveling. They were talking to somebody in a bar, and the person came, you know, the guy came on to them too strong. They backed off. Well, the guy found out from the conversation that the woman was from Connecticut. She drove there. She had Connecticut plates on her car in the parking lot. She came out the next window, and all of her car windows were smashed. And the guy was wearing a cowboy hat, and in the front seat of her car, there was a cowboy hat.
Okay.
So
sounds very smart from him.
So the point is be careful the information that you tell somebody about, you know, your personal info, where you live, you know, where you work, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, so that the next morning, even though you had nothing really happened as far as you're concerned, you know, somebody didn't get what they wanted, and they're going to come back and punish you.
Also, if you're online and you're going to these cafes, you know, you could also be hacked there. So that's not a secure way of going on your computer or your phone.
Public
Wi-Fi. Yeah. So it's good to put a VPN on your phone, the virtual private network. So at least it makes it more secure if that's how you're, you know, looking up people.
All right. Is there anything else that you two would like to add on the safety topic?
What we encourage people to do is if you feel that something is wrong, then don't dismiss it. If it feels bad, it could be bad. And so err on the safety, on the side of caution. Don't just dismiss what you think that something could be off about a person, because it could be those small facial expressions. It could be something about them that you really can't articulate. But just because you can't articulate it doesn't mean that there's not something wrong. And why not be a little cautious? I mean, violence against women is really a global pandemic, because the World Health Organization notes that 1 in 3 women globally have been sexually or physically assaulted at least once in their life. And with statistics like that, you know, just be a little careful.
Yeah.
And we say that you can be persuasion proof. You don't have to be forced to make any decision.
Yeah.
Say no as many times as you want and leave. Just practice being persuasion proof.
Yeah. I think it's also a lot of the times not given into our internal sunk cost fallacy, that we already like went out, invested the time, and you know things maybe not go right, but like, oh, I'm already here, so might as well. But you know, so I think a lot of times it's persuading yourself in your head.
That's exactly spot on. Don't do it. Right. Listen to yourself. Don't talk yourself out of it.
Yeah. So to finalize things, I would like to ask both of you, before you met each other, in your online dating experience, have you had any horrible online dating experiences?
I did. I met somebody, and we went out with friends, and we were out for a little bit, and she was drinking at dinner, and she got up to go to the bathroom and came back to dinner, and her whole personality changed.
Oh, wow.
And my friends were going, and it was, let's just say, overly sexual. So it was a little peculiar, And it was only another couple that I was with. So we were sitting in a booth, and it was just, it was the first time they met her. And it was the first time, it was our actually second date, because I had just met her. And I figured, well, let me bring the friends out for this one. And they said, something's wrong. I go, yeah, I know. Something's wrong. I just don't know what it is. And, you know, we just speculated. Of course, that was the end of it. After that, we needed to end this. It was just getting out of hand. It's like a sitcom.
And, like, how does her behavior manifest?
She was just trying to kiss and hug them. And, it was just like, whoa, what's wrong with you? Nothing. And we're like, well, it obviously wasn't, you weren't drinking. You know, we saw what you were drinking. Yeah. It wasn't that. So I don't know if she had taken something in the bathroom and, you know, so I went, well, here you go. And then we just laughed about it and went, well, here you go. Here's one of those online dates. You know, chalk that up, cross that one. Okay, that's not happening again. Okay. Poor Laura. She was down the line.
And I will say that I did not have any bad experiences, but I attribute that to the fact that I'm a relatively small person. I'm about 5'3", 110. And, you know, I've been that way my whole life. So as a relatively small woman, I've always been cautious because I have been attacked physically a couple of times. Mm-hmm. And so when I was meeting people, I was always very cautious about my physical safety and whether or not I would be put in a position I didn't want to be put in.
Yeah.
Well, I'm about 5'7" and I'm kind of muscular and could handle myself in the job, but that did not stop me from still finding the nutcases of the world. So I found that they're out there.
Most of the time they find you. That's the problem. They find you. And my last question is, have any of you ever been a horrible date to someone else, in your opinion, in any way? Not necessarily in a violent way, of course, but just like, you know.
Never.
No, that's good.
Well, I mentioned that I'm a recovering alcoholic. So before I was a recovering alcoholic, I was an alcoholic, period. And I could have been the person on the other side of Joy's date at that time. Because when I drank, I was a party girl and I just wanted everybody to party with me. And I am sure that I embarrassed people throughout the years. And, you know, fortunately, I was also a blackout drinker, so I don't remember a lot of it. So, you know what? There's people like me, the old me out there. And, you know, when I think back, I was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. I can't believe I did that. And, you know, I would drink and drive and I would want other people to get in the car with me. So, yeah, I was a bad date for a little while.
Well, at least you can laugh about it now. And, you know,
exactly. Now it's funny.
She's not a bad date now.
Okay. So Laura and Joy, thank you so much for this conversation. And I really hope someone out there found it really valuable. Maybe just shortly, you can tell us where to find your book and the name of the book again.
Sure. It's Street Smart Safety for Women, Your Guide to Defensive Living. Our website is streetsmartsafety.org. And we also encourage you to join our Facebook community. We love to interact with people and answer questions on Facebook and give people tips on how they can keep themselves safe.
We're on Instagram and TikTok.
Yep.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you for
talking
to us today.
This was wonderful. Thank you for having us on.
Yes.